Good evening, and welcome to the call. This is Pierre. We're waiting for Winfrey to arrive, and we just had someone else arrive. Would you like to state your name and who's calling?
Yeah, John. Hi, it's Dave from Atlantic City.
Oh, Dave from Atlantic City. Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Good evening. It's Cleo from Connecticut. How are you?
Hello, Cleo from Connecticut. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Catherine from California.
Oh, hello, Catherine from California. Welcome to the call. Hello, and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name, where you're calling from?
Yes, Delphine from Chula Vista.
Oh, hello, Delphine from Chula Vista. Welcome to the call.
And how do you mute? Are you star on the line?
I think it's star six.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name, where you're calling from?
I was Don in North Ohio. Hi, everybody. Hi, John.
Hello. Welcome to the call, Don. And I've heard two other things. Would you like to state your name, where are you calling from?
This is Terry in Dallas.
Terry in Dallas. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the call. Anyone else
Thank
like
you.
To state their name, where are you calling from?
Don Menanda, Boulder Creek, California. Who's this, Chris?
This is John from Las Vegas.
When you're relaxed, you sound like Chris.
Well, hi's not in. I'm just doing a job.
I thought the same thing.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
Oh, hello, Deb in Oregon. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Is there anyone else you'd like to state their name while they're calling from? Okay, I guess not. Roll if you want to. Hello and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Roger in Austin.
Oh, hello, Roger from Austin. Welcome to the call. Hello and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Chris in Memphis.
Oh, hello, Chris from Memphis. Welcome to the call. Anyone else like to state your name? Anyone else?
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria.
You said Kelly or?
No, Michelle in Cambria.
Oh, Michelle in Cambria. Oh, hello, Michelle. Welcome
hi
to the call.
Sure, thanks.
This is John from Las Vegas. Hi, is not
hi, John.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
We're just filling in for Hi's. Wind should be in any moment.
Okay. All right.
What's happening in Las Vegas these days?
What's happening? Not much.
Yeah. Is it tourism up, down, or anything? What's going on?
Just usual stuff.
Oh, you're not saying because what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas?
it's what you, basically what you make of it. That's basically it, yeah. Hello, and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Helen, Virginia.
Oh, welcome to the call, Helen.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Lena in Sedona.
Is that Lynn, you said?
Lena.
Oh, Lena. Welcome to the call, Lena.
Sedona.
Hello, and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from? Rolling if you want to.
Hi, it's Joni in St. Louis.
Oh, welcome to the call, Joni.
Thank you.
Still waiting for the man of the hour, Mr. Winfrey, to arrive here.
Yeah. 804.
Carrie on yet?
No, she's not on yet either. I'm not sure what's up.
Can you
CBS come in?
Yes, we're already live on BBS.
John, can you tell
me? Give him a call.
Hello, and welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Bonnie in California.
Hello, Bonnie from California. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much.
Well, welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name, where are you calling from? Two more people join us. Would you like to state your name, where are you calling from?
It is Wynn.
Oh, Wynn. Hello, Wynn.
Did Lena call me to say get on the line?
No, no one called you, actually.
Actually, I did.
Oh, okay, you did. Oh, okay.
Good.
Lena, now you have to call Terry up.
Sorry.
When you're mumbling.
Terry, are you there? Otherwise, John will have to answer the question.
I'm not good as Terry, so.
I was soliciting for another channel. Nobody volunteered.
Welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Hello, Steve from West Palm Beach. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to state their name? Where are one new caller?
Hi.
Terry?
No, it's Prudence.
Oh, Prudence, okay. Welcome to the call, Prudence.
Hi. Thank you.
All right. Prudence can channel.
Terry was very tired earlier. I'm going to go make sure she didn't fall asleep. Don't go away. John?
All right. Welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Jeannie from Citrus Heights, California.
Oh, hello, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Jeannie, is this your first time on the call? No.
No.
Well, I'd like to welcome the last caller who just chimed in. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from? But only if you want to.
Hey, Wynn, has Terry ever had a PEMF treatment?
Yeah.
Did it do anything?
Right.
Do anything?
I'm on it. Are you on it? Get on. Terry jumps in the room, panicking, saying, my call is right now. Okay.
Hello, welcome to the call. Would you like to state your name? Where are you calling from?
Terry's come.
If you're new, then if you don't say your name, you're in big trouble.
No, you don't have to. It's only for one. I mean, stay anonymous for one. It's nice to get to know everyone who's on the call.
Not mandatory.
Yeah, it's not mandatory.
No, you know what? If people are new, I don't blame them for not saying their name, okay? Because especially if you're checking this out, I would do it that way. I'd stay anonymous until I say, okay, these guys are cool, you know? Or I trust them because...
We're cool?
What I mean is we're not demonic. Hopefully. Most of us, but probably not.
I think we're probably more positive than anything. Hopefully.
Not today.
Huh? But, you know, people are concerned, and I was concerned, you know. I mean, when you have voices from other dimensions talking to you, how do you know you can trust them? How do you know they got an agenda? Or is there, you know, any number of things that, I mean, it's good to stay anonymous until you say you feel comfortable. And it's good to read our material, to read the story of how this all evolved, because I do my best.
You're muffled, Wynn. You're quiet.
Here, is that better now?
Yep.
Yeah, I do my best to be transparent And I tell people don't believe anything until they get some kind of experience. But one of the amazing things that happens on these calls for many of the people that check in is that there is an energy that we've introduced ourselves to beings in other dimensions, or they say that. And I believe they're from other dimensions for sure, because we can't see them. And they have the ability. That must be Terry. Is that Terry?
Yes, it is. Hi.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I was trying to tell some blonde jokes, but...
Didn't work too well. Like
no.
Terry. How you do.
I didn't know you had such a talent to tell blonde jokes, Terry.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do it without the Internet.
Yeah. Would someone like to say their name and their city that just came on?
Hi, y'all. This is Heise. Sorry for being late.
Heise, listen, we had to put up with John Zubarowski.
Jeez. That's unacceptable, Heise.
Holy cow.
But he didn't come up with any of the Dread Report. He's been good.
We don't, no, never.
That's
no.
A big win.
He saved up for his question tonight.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's our question. Yeah, it's like, what's going on?
Okay. So,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is February 1st, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. This is the call where people ask questions, and I was just saying that, you know, we have this very outrageous idea that we're talking to group souls in other dimensions that created the universe. And if you're new, you should be skeptical. You should kick our tires. We have endless calls. You can hear us communicate with them. We have all kinds of things. But the biggest thing of all, the biggest thing, is it doesn't matter who they are. It matters what's in it for you. What benefit can you get from hearing these guys from other dimensions? And for a long period of time, I've observed this, and people feel vibrations. They get expanded. Their hearts open up. It's pretty amazing. And they send me the most amazing emails. And many times I don't know them. And I got no vested interest in them doing this because we don't charge for it. I'm not trying to intrigue somebody to come to expensive workshops or buy things or get readings. We do it for free and publicly. So that's different than most anyone I ever heard of that does anything like what we're doing. And it means we could be idiots, and sometimes they think we are, but we sell products on the side, and sometimes to our group, and we sell really extraordinary products, and enough people are buying our products, so we still got a roof over our head. But the reason I do it for free, I don't charge for it, is because I'm too independent and I don't want to be controlled. And money is a control mechanism. And even when you're not trying to be controlled, you're controlled by it. Because, how can I say it? And so once you start making money doing something like this, then your goal becomes, how do I make more money? And I didn't want that to be my goal, at least for this. Now, at some point, we may make a lot of money. And I am definitely not against that. I might have a million-seller book. Who knows what? But the point is, it has to happen without controlling me. because then it all becomes about doing expensive cruises and expensive workshops. And I want this to be for the common man. I want everyone who wants to connect with it, do it, and even check it out, because people have to check it out. And it's working. We got so many people that have had so many amazing shifts in their lives because they're coming to our calls and reading our materials. So if you're new, just check us out carefully. And watch for the energy on the call. On this call, oftentimes the energy is not as high as it is on our Sunday call or our whole planet healing call, which is after this call. Because this call is for people to ask questions about what's going on in their lives. What, you know, we get all kinds of questions, and you'll hear them because we're about to start. And I know Terry's not ready, right?
No.
No. And Terry was really tired. I said, you know, if we have to do something else this call, we can. But she showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
I thought she would. Okay, Father, Mother, God. We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And the voice that you're about to hear has identified itself to us as a conglomerate of two group souls. One of them is the Elohim group. And the Elohim group take credit for the creation, the beginning creation of the universe. And we've had many calls with them about how they did that. And the Ra group is another group soul, and they're not as high as the Elohim. They work closer to the Earth realm, and they are comprised of souls that graduated this realm. It got off the wheel of reincarnation, and they act at a higher level to contribute to this level. They do interventions. They've done a lot of things throughout time. And both souls have connected with each other to have a wider spectrum of to give us information. So would you like to do an introduction?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It brings us joy to bring in contact with one infinite creator. As we are assistants, we are not gods. We are assistants to the one infinite creator. Each of you are part of the one infinite creator. And so, even though one may feel isolated, one is never alone. We come to you directly. We do not come through the telephone line or the computer. We come to you directly. You hear the voice through the computer or the telephone line, but We are delighted to be with you this Wednesday. And if we ever say anything that doesn't make sense or resonate with you, then disregard it, as it is not applicable to you at that time. Someone may ask a question, and it may be your same exact question, but the answer may be totally different for the other person than it would be for you. So take precaution. Do not believe blindly, but to see whether it resonates and is useful to you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. First question is from Dharmananda in Boulder Creek, California. And he actually has two questions here. And one question, I don't think, I'll read it and I'll make my comment. And then when we go to his other question, if you feel like making a comment, you can, but I don't think it's appropriate. And he's asking, why did the Blue Avians tell David Wilcott that they channeled the Law of One through Carla Rucker? Now, of course, the Ra group is who Carla Rucker channels. And
they're laughing, but go ahead.
Who's laughing? The Elohim?
Yeah. The Elohim is the Ra.
And, you know, when I've asked about this privately, they've said it's not true. And I said, why did David do that? Why did he do it? Well, maybe he believes it's true. Maybe he's got a source that's convincing him it's true. Or maybe there's another reason. I don't think it's a violation of his privacy for me to channel why he does something, okay? And if you want to think it's true, it's fine. But, you know, I talked to Carla about it. I talked to her partner Jim McCarty about it, and they both said they have no reference to that being true, and that the Ra group were energy units. They were not birds. Okay, so I'm going to leave that question behind, but if they want to say anything, they can. Okay, and then the second thing is, lately I have been feeling that I am not doing what I came here to do. But I cannot remember what I came here to do. Can you please, if you can, tell me what my mission is here and if I am doing what I am supposed to be doing? Now, within your question, I got to make a comment about that question, because a lot of people ask something similar to that or have that idea. And in that, in for me, and I'm going to have our sources address it, but for me, you are asking someone else to disempower you. First of all, you're here to create. And you're supposed to create what you're going to do. And even if you had an intent before you took a body to do something, that was a long time ago. And that intent may not even be relevant now, because you've gone through a lot of experience of learning. And it's up to each person to figure out how they're supposed to manifest. And it can be simple or complex. But if you're supposed to do something, then there's no free will. That means you're obligated to do something, even if it was your own projection before you came into this realm. You didn't have all the information then that you do now. So, to me, if you want to operate from the highest realms of spirit, you've got to create out of nothing. You have to find opportunities to be of service in a real way. I mean, it could be dishing out soup in soup kitchens. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you have to experiment. You don't have to commit to something. Experiment. And when you find something that fits your passion, then continue with it. But don't do something just because you're supposed to do something. But in any case, let me turn it over to our sources, and they may say I'm all washed up. Let's see what they say. Thank you.
Thank you. We found it very funny, the question about the blue aliens, particularly the aspect of the Ra group that is talking in conjunction with the Elohim group. I see that the blue aliens feel that they are the embodiment of the Ra aspect, and indeed, some of them have come down and embodied and taken on the blue avian body. So they believe that they are an aspect of the Ra group. However, they have drifted from the heart of the Ra group, and they have taken on an embodiment. We are energy beings, although we have at times taken on different bodies and have then returned to our energy form. Concerning the purpose of you being here, if you feel that you are not moving in conjunction with your purpose to be here, then before you go to bed at night, ask what it is. Ask them to tell you in dreams what it is. It can be in picture form, a dream that acts out something that contains your purpose so that you can clearly see that there was something about the dream that was fulfilling, that gave you a clue toward what your purpose in being here is. It is very easy in the third density to take on other people's purposes, the mother and father's purpose, family's purpose, the society's purpose, the friend's purpose. And once one has taken it on, it can be hard to get back to your purpose. Another thing you may do is to take a blank sheet of paper or a blank Word document and jot down some scenarios that can you feel they might be even not real, but that would come closer to what your true purpose is. We picture you writing something, and when you stick to the reality of the situation as it appears in the world, then you do not have the imagination that lights up fancy, but when you can write and color out of the box color out of the characters and can put in some inspiration that may not make total sense, like jumping on a flying carpet and viewing different occupations. And is there a writer in the house? Is there a writer in the house that can put down what you have learned to pass on to others? See if there's different scenarios that you write down that could be, you could feel, yes, the file is able to convey the things that I've learned to others that could help me to proceed toward the fulfillment of my purpose. What would make you feel fulfilled if you were able to convey knowledge to many, many people? If you were able to teach, if you were able to project knowledge that you have gained to others, what would you write about? We suggest you explore and see what feels to you that it would begin to fill those places that are not filled. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like sometimes you have to experiment and see what brings passion. I do think you got a lot more in you than you've learned how to share, you know? And you can do it. Next question. This is from Don Herman in Ohio. What actually is the veil between conscious and unconscious? Is it physical or a detectable thing? How does it work? How do some people seem to be able to see through it? Thank you. Don Herman in Ohio.
Thank you. There are many aspects to the veil. One of them is the physical body, and you're looking through the molecules of the physical body. You're looking with the molecules of the physical body, and as such, you are taking on a part of the veil. There's a genetics that is passed down from lifetime to lifetime that can slant how you see things. There's the molecules of the body that can distort perception. There's the food that you eat that then is part of the process of the body that can take you into a distortion connected with the various things that you may have eaten. Fried foods can act as a distortion to thought and perception. So there's the body. That's definitely part of the veil. There's the genetics in the body. That's definitely part of the veil. There is the Earth GPS system that orients you in a way, a specific way, that brings in aspects of the veil there is social media that can affect you not only by hearing it, but by millions of people believing it, and that vibration then becomes a part of the veil that is very hard to see through. There are preconceived notions that are inherited down or passed down from others in society that make it very hard to see exactly what is there. So for someone that is doing readings, they have to be very careful that they do not just grab onto a concept that is popular in the society and grab onto that as like first layer of what seems to be there in the reading. It takes practice to be able to set aside factors that are extraneous to seeing exactly what is there when one is attempting to look through to see what is beyond the veil.
Thank you. Some people say the veil was something that was created as part of the creation process, so that, again, there was that reading we did from the Ra group about if you knew all the poker hands, there wouldn't be any interest in the game. The veil means we don't know all the poker hands. And was there something deliberate in creating that separation between what we know and what we don't know?
One is focusing through the body, which brings the focus into a singularity more. And one can miss other aspects that they're not attuned to, but are there.
Thank you. Next question. Jim Blayhut in Medford, New Jersey. Why do I feel a strong connection to the word recluse? Please share the following experience I had and related question with our source. I awoke one morning gradually, having slept considerably longer than normal, and in a most peculiar fashion. I say this because I almost sleep on my stomach or side. This particular morning, I was positioned, or perhaps more accurately, feeling staged, in that it felt very unnatural, on my back, rigid as an arrow, facing straight up with my neck clasped in a specific manner across my rib cage, my hands clasped across my rib cage. My fingers were interlocked in a symmetric way with the tips of my thumbs touching. As I began to awaken and became aware of myself, my attention first took note of my hands, still concealed under the covers. In my mind's eye, the sensation of my clasped hands formed a horizontal visual of the winged disc, which I thought was an Egyptian symbol, and the word recluse slammed into my mind. It was most unusual, and it left a lasting impression on me. Although this happened back in December of 2015, this word continues to enter my mind from time to time. It demands my attention. I am aware of two ways this term can deeply apply to me, one moving into it, the other moving out. I would like to ask our sources to help me understand this meaning and how I can apply it.
thank you. It does connect back to Egypt. And in Egypt, there were procedures to connect an individual up to higher aspects. So when one would be isolated into there's a word for it, an Egyptian word, isolated in to a position within a even sarcophagus, if they're isolated for the purpose of disconnecting from the society, the other aspects of the Egyptian culture, of simply becoming oneself and then connecting with the winged disc, of letting oneself go to be in a housing that can connect with the higher sources and communicate with the higher sources. It was something that was offered to people of an advanced status, an advanced position within the connection to the higher realms, part of an education even. And then the recluse part would be the withdrawal from the factors of the earth realm that caused one not to be available to connect with the higher sources. We hope that provides some clues.
Thank you. Next question is from Sudip Kerala from Belchantara, Tanahun, Nepal. Let me say his name again. Sudip Koirala from Belchant, I'll let me spell the city, Belchantara, Tanahun, Nepal. And we're really honored. We got two questions tonight from Nepal. And I'm so glad you guys are listening to us. And keep asking. I asked Ron Elohim to help me be wise. And my question is to cleanse the defects in my system, especially speaking unnecessarily and quarreling. How can I get help?
We see several aspects to this. For quarreling, there is a basic premise that is subconscious. The aspect of getting one's point across, the aspect of self-respect and one's feeling threatened in one's self-respect, the defense of oneself is almost automatic in seeking to protect oneself from the for the image of oneself to be protected, searching how to protect one's image, not wanting to be taken apart or not wishing to lose one's self-respect, one fighting for one's self-respect, one protecting one's own image is one reason sometimes for quarreling. It is hard to stop until you get to the basis of what it is that you are trying to do through the quarreling. Do you have a second question?
Another question from another person from the same city, okay? And his name is Koirala, K-O-I-R-A-L-A. Oh, no, wait, it's the same person. The other person's name is, just a moment. His name is Sushi. No, Sushil. S-U-S-I-H-I-L. Sushil. From Nepal, Tanahant. And my question to Ra and Elohim is, what are the karmas to be done by me for aligning with flow? And what is first source?
The first thing is recognizing flow and whether you are in agreement with the flow. If you recognize that there is a flow going and you do not agree or you do not feel in alignment with the flow, then there are two things to observe: the flow and allow it and accept it, even though it is something like a weed growing in the garden that you do not wish to take part in or to be a part of, then to just merely let it flow. And if there is something to be said, then at the end, without making it wrong, but to give your opinion The other is aligning with a flow that you agree with, that you wish to be part of, and that is easier to step into as if you are in alignment with it. Was there a second part to this question?
Let me see here. Yes, I believe it was. What is my karma to be done by me for aligning with this flow? And what is the first source? Now, I'm not sure what he means by first source, because it doesn't make sense in English language exactly what that means. What is first source? Is he referring to the one infinite creator, the first source in the universe? I'm not sure. If you can't get the meaning of it, then, Sushil, maybe you should send another question for next week and explain what you mean by that.
There is, for first source, it is you in alignment with what you perceive as the first source. And this can be refined as you perceive more and more about the first source to align with God might be an example. Sometimes God provides lessons that are teaching lessons. Sometimes they are very hard, but they are something that a person can deal with, and they can get in touch with first source and see what it is that first source is telling them, even through the lessons that they are learning. What is this lesson that I'm learning? Why is this happening to me? What am I supposed to get from this? And bearing with it and looking into it to see what it is that will carry them through the lesson and in greater flow in connection with their source.
Thank you. Next question, and it might be the last question. Suzanne in Columbus, that was a good question. If I don't get it to it tonight, ask it next week. And John Siborowski, ask your question again next week. And I wanted to ask Edna's question here. And Jim Siborowski, you ask your question again next week. Okay? And find Edna. Edna refers to some information that you told her a few weeks ago, that she was captured with living in another planet and sent here to the Earth experiment. Could the sources please tell me what planet was it and if it still exists? And also, I would like to know what type of leader I was on that planet, since I was told that people missed my guidance. Why did I not reincarnate back there instead of keeping reincarnating on Earth? I was wondering if I'm being punished and have to come back to Earth.
No, you are not being punished. You had... there were things that happened that messed up your memory of where you were from, messed up your identity, and that have provided lessons in growing and learning, but a forgetting of where you were from. Where was it that you were from? It was within a nearby solar system, and it still exists, and the people there are not as affected. But when the people, some of the people from there were brought here, they were given some programming to erase their memory. And so it was very confusing. By bringing aspects of others together and projecting them on yourself, it diluted your awareness of where you were from. It can be brought back in the silence of the evening, asking for dreams. Do you see people walking? Do you see beautiful women? What do you see in your dreams? This is a beautiful place, and it is still there. What were you doing? You were a healer and leader. That was very powerful and strong, and everyone looked to you with respect. We see a star system of the Nev. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 7:58. We're going to go over to Whole Planet Healing. If you're new on this call, Bonnie, also submit your question again next week. And the phone number for Whole Planet Healing is, just a moment, Dave Ferringer, another one we didn't get to him.
712-770-access-250-513#.
Okay, just forget what Heif just said because he made a mistake. 712-770-4340. You didn't say that. 712-770-4340. And the PIN is 250-513. And the information is on the website wholeplanethealing.com. Wholeplanethealing.com. So for those of you that are coming, we will see you in a minute. Thank you so much, Terry. Thank all of you who asked questions. And special greetings to India. It's nice to have that wonderful, old, ancient country with so much spiritual focus represented on our line. So we will see you all in a moment.
Your conference recording has stopped.